Welcome to the beloved Church of Kalamazoo podcast. I am Pastor Mo Brooks. We are a new church plant in Kalamazoo, and right now we're in phase one of building something grounded, honest, and centered on Jesus, where you could come as you are, be loved, and live free. In this episode or teaching, I teach from Matthew 4:17, and we focus on repentance as Jesus taught it, a change of mind that leads to a new way of living. Because the kingdom of heaven is near and accessible now. If you have ever felt stuck in cycles of guilt, pressure, or religious performance, this is for you. Enjoy.
Matthew 4:17, it marks a turning point in the gospel narrative. Okay? Leading up to that, you got Jesus being baptized in Matthew chapter 3. All right? You got Jesus being affirmed by the Father. Matthew 3:17, he said, "This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased." You got Jesus being tested in the wilderness. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he faced the temptation of Satan. He overcame that temptation by the word of God. The angels came and ministered to him. I don't know how the angels ministered to him, but they did, okay? Reggie might know. I don't know, all right? So Matthew says from there, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach. This is exciting. This is the start of Jesus' earthly ministry, okay? And really, it's really the start of our earthly ministry as a local church, okay? The phrase that Jesus began to preach is the beginning of his public message, all right? What follows is not one teaching among many, it's the core announcement of everything Jesus will say and do from here on out. This one verse and this one statement is all about everything that you hear Jesus say and do from here on out is Jesus accomplishing this announcement. All right. So if you miss this, you miss everything. All right. You get caught up in the healing. You get caught up in the miracles. If you miss this announcement, you miss everything. You miss his whole purpose. You miss the mission. You just miss it. Okay. Why is missing it so deep? Because sin, the definition of sin means what? Missing the mark. If you miss what Jesus is saying, you therefore miss the mark. Meaning, sin is not necessarily what we do. Sin is us missing the mark in what we believe. All right, here we go. My bad. Let me. Okay. All right. Here we go. So. All right. No, because we got it twisted. Okay. Because we look at sin, we're judging our actions too much. God necessarily does not care about your actions. There is something that precedes or comes before your actions. And what Satan has done masterfully, he got all of us focusing on what we do. Focusing on our habits. Focusing on what time we wake up. Focusing on what we eating. Focusing on this and that. What we watching. What we listening to. We focus on all our bad habits. And we're on a rat wheel. On a hamster wheel. Doing this. Going nowhere. Frustrated with the whole concept of Christianity. Because we focus on the wrong thing. We missed the mark. All right. Oh, I'm excited. Okay, here we go. So Matthew 4:17 is not an altar call. All right. Matthew 4:17 is not a moral warning. Matthew 4:17 is a public service announcement, PSA. And this is what it says in the NLT. It says, and I'm just going to read the main part. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In a New American Standard Version of the Bible, the one I got, the one I like to study from, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Now, if we're going to understand repentance as Jesus meant it in this verse, we must understand the original language and the correct modern assumptions. Okay? So we got to correct our modern assumptions. So anytime you're reading a word, all right, you have to know that the word was not originally written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament in Greek and Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. He did not speak English. And back in that Jewish culture, different words mean different things and have a different variation. All right. I can't explain all this right now, but when we get into talking about how we strategies for the church and stuff, like we're going to talk about all this stuff. Because all of us for ourselves need to hear from God and know how to study the word. I'm not going to do it for you. All right, my bad. I'm sorry. That was a little strong. All right, I'm sorry. But I'm not. I'm serious. Okay? Because that's the... Never mind. Okay, here we go. All right. So we're going to focus on a few key words and their definitions. All right? The first key word is repent. Okay? Repent means to change the mind. It means to rethink. It means to adopt a new way of seeing reality. All right? Change. Yep. And I emailed all of you this document as well. All right? Cool. All right. So you got it. Okay? Repent means to change. I'm going to still say it again. To change the mind, to rethink, to adopt a new way of seeing reality. This word does not primarily mean to feel bad. Just because you feel bad does not mean you repented. It means you feel bad. All right? Okay? Repent does not necessarily mean to be ashamed. It does not mean stop doing bad things. Just because you stop doing bad things does not necessarily mean you repented of it. Amen. All right. Don't mean a hill of beans. All right. This is what repent means. Repent means to rethink your understanding and to return. To return to God. Rethink your understanding, meaning if you already know it all, you can't repent. If you already got the understanding and all the revelation and all the knowledge, it's impossible to repent. That's why the Pharisees struggled so much, because they spent more than 30 years studying the Torah, studying the law, interpreting it, following a rabbi. So therefore, they thought they mastered the word of God and knew it all. So when Jesus came and said, repent, you need to change the way you think and your understanding and return back to God. They said, what are you mean? I'm already with God. I already know it. You're telling me to repent and change my understanding. I already understand. And we have too many believers. You already understand too much. God is saying, scrap your understanding. Repent. Okay? It means to exchange one mental framework or paradigm for another. Exchange one mindset for another mindset. Just be real. My mindset ain't right. I just start with me. It ain't right. I need to repent. There's some things in my mindset I need to get rid of and take on the mind of Christ. All right? It means, repent means to realign how you interpret life, God, power, and meaning, and to come back to the truth. Amen? Amen. All right? In the Jewish context, because remember now, Jesus, he's a Jew. He grew up as a Jew. So when you read in the gospel, all this stuff is rooted in Jewish context. So if you don't understand Genesis, if you don't understand Judaism, you're going to miss it. Because we think Jesus is an American. We think he's Republican and Democrat. Independent. No, we do. And we're missing it. That's why we're missing it. We don't understand. Uh-oh. Jesus is a Jew. All right? So in the Jewish context, repentance was not about behavior first. Behavior changes followed belief changes. I wrote that wrong. But behavior, if behavior change, it follows belief change. If you want your behavior to change, your belief has to change first. If your belief does not change, your behavior will never change, even if you cover it up. All right. Romans 12:2. Be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Let God transform you into a new person by changing what you think. Romans 12:2. It's about 1,000 different versions. You can read it. Jesus is calling people to abandon their old mental maps of God and reality. There's some things we think about God and our reality is just off. It's just off. There's no other way to cut it. You was raised like that, off. Those movies you think that's glamorous and teaching you about life, off. That music you listen to that's touching your soul, off. There's some things that is just off about what we think and how we see God. This is what God is calling us to repent of. All right? So, again, repentance is all about direction and allegiance to God and not about your moral performance. Get this Christianity out of the way where all we think about is being moral and doing everything right. Doesn't work. You're going to mess up. You're going to feel bad. You're going to be stuck. All right. I got to do everything right. Can't do this. I can't do that. Can't touch this. Can't do this. Mm-mm. It's not going to work. That's not the path to transformation. Even if you're not supposed to touch that or do that, try not to touch it and do it. Doesn't work. They don't. Trust me. I've tried and I failed over and over and over. I'm sweating, trying hard too. I'm like, Lord, please, I repent. I stop. I won't do it again, Lord. Next day.
Not even the whole day.
Not even the whole day.
Yup.
I might as well just do it. I'm already out here. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go hard. Now you're really crazy. Now you just like, forget it all. It doesn't work. But think about this. We have millions of believers, churches all over the place, trying to get people to live right by trying harder. And then what that does subconsciously, it makes the pastor feel validated and leaders in the church because you are stuck with a problem and you need me to help you fix it. And now once I help you fix it, now I can use my authority, my power. You're indebted to me. Now I need you to serve in 1,500 ministries. Y'all see the church hurt and the spiritual abuse and how all these things can unravel because we're trying to do this through human effort and not really releasing people to be free and allow God to do what he do so God can get the credit? That's why y'all going to hear me, especially these first 5-10 years, I'm going to be very intentional about what I say. I'm going to be a little nuttier than usual because I need you all and people to understand, yo, don't look at me. I'm not that one. You got to look at him. Not even on no like religious stuff. I'm serious. Like, no, you need to go talk to Jesus. You need to hear from him for yourself. You need to practice spiritual disciplines. You need to skip church every once in a while and just stay laid out before God. That's okay. You're free in Christ. All right? Okay. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So repentance. Repentance means you've been walking with the wrong assumptions and belief about God, yourself, and other people. This is definition of repentance. You've been walking with the wrong assumptions about God, yourself, and other people. Those three are huge. Now, come back and see things rightly the way God sees them. That's repentance. I'm coming back and I'm saying, God, how do you see yourself? I want to see you how you see you. God, like, I'm the end all be all. God, like, I got the juice, the authority, the power. God said, I'm supposed to be reverent because of who I am and my character. God said, I am faithful and I'm going to come through every single time if you trust me. That's how God sees himself. The question is, do we see God how God see God? And then God says, do you see yourself as I see you? Do you see yourself as God sees you? And if you don't see God, how God sees God, it's going to be impossible for you to see you how you're supposed to see you or how God sees you. So if you see you, if you don't see you how God sees you, I feel like this is a riddle. But if you don't see you how God sees you, that means you don't see God how God sees himself. You missed the mark before you did anything. You missed it. How does God see you for real? Have you ever read how he sees you? That you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're loved, that his mercy never ends, that he will do anything to be in relationship with you to the point where he sent his only son into the world to be crucified, lied on, spat on, disrespected, misused, abused to save you. You think he's just doing that for anybody? Like, I like to think that I will risk my life for my children. Because of who my children is and the way I see my children and how much I love them. I haven't got to the point yet where I'm risking it for everybody. I ain't there yet. All right? I'm just not. Maybe one day I will be. Today's not the day. But God said, I love you so much. And because God knows everything, he knows a whole bunch of people are going to reject him after Jesus dies, and he still sent them anyway. And he still died for them anyway. So God said, if you want to repent, it's to come back to see who God is, who we are, and who other people are. And that's the concept of love. That we really can't love like we're supposed to love if we don't see God how God sees himself. If we don't see ourselves as God sees us, we will never see other people as God sees them.
Say that one more time.
I don't know if I can. You got to reach. All right. I don't know if I can for real. Okay. But does that make sense? God, ourselves, and other people. So now when I see other people in this ministry, in my family, at my job, everywhere I go, think about me seeing other people as God sees them. I might ruin my reward for this. I was at Meijer getting the communion stuff yesterday. It was a man outside. He was an old veteran, you know, asking for whatever. He needs something. I ran home. We got so much food from Christmas. I ran home. I warmed him up some brats, some ribs. I got him some cookies, some napkins, some wet wipes. I got him one of these big old lemonades that we had that was just unopened. I packed it all up and I gave it to him. Because for some reason, I was like, I saw him and I saw him as God sees him, as a beloved child. Like, that's what it's about. All right. Okay. Word number two. We gotta hurry up. Okay. Word number two. Keyword number two. Turn to God. Okay. So it says, repent. Follow me. Oh, my bad. Oh, that's, ooh, I like that one. Verse 17. Okay. From that time, Jesus began to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent, turn to God. What does it mean? Okay. Turn around, redirect allegiance. And when we're turning to God, this is relational and not directional. It doesn't just mean an emotional turning. It's relational. I want to be in relationship with you, God. All right. You're turning from false images of God. This is what you're turning from. All right. A false image of God is anything, like, reason why I don't rock with photos of Jesus and of God, because God clearly said, don't make an image of me. It's clear. He said, you don't know what I look like. Stop trying. All right. You know what I'm saying? He literally said, don't make an image of me. You know what I'm saying? But so we want to turn from false images of God, from transactional religion. Meaning, God, if I do good, I expect a blessing. If I do bad, I expect to be cursed. That transactional religion got most of us jacked up. And we are inviting and speaking death, and we're inviting terrible things to happen in our lives because we think every time we mess up, God is out to punish us. And because you think that, I can't, you're attracting that to yourself. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. All right. So we want to get out the transactional religion where I scratch God back, he scratched my back. It don't work like that. We're in a relationship religion where we are in relationship with God, where we talk with God, where we follow Jesus, where we spend time with him. That's what it's about. As you do that, your beliefs will change, then your behavior will change. All right? Fear-based obedience, we got to chill out. We got to turn from that. God does not want you obeying him out of fear. He wants you obeying him out of love and relationship, that you have an understanding that what Jesus is telling me to do is best for me, and I trust him because he's sovereign and knows all things. Therefore, I'm going to follow him based off of that, not being afraid of punishment. We got to kill that fear-based religion and obedience. And I got to hurry up and say this. Everything I'm saying, I don't know how yet, but I need you all to not only embrace it and live it out, I need you all to teach other people in this ministry and wherever you go. This is how we're going to change the world. Okay? Can y'all do that? So we're doing these notes. I really want you to study it, get it for yourself, because I really want you, whatever I need to do to help, for you to start teaching other people this. Practice on them. Real talk. And it seems like you're getting a license to sin. That's not what it is. It's not a license to sin. Not even close to it. It is. Ooh. So who said that? It's a license to change. It's the key to real transformation without doing it for a show. Without doing it in public, we in church, woo, woo, woo. Now low key, I'm out here. I don't know about y'all. I'm cool with that. that's just where I'm at in my stage of life. All right. I've done enough wild one. I'm sure I'm cool. Now, somebody want to get out their system? I ain't judging you. I got out of mine. You know what I'm saying? Like we have to let people the freedom and realness to make a decision. Are you going to follow God or are you not? If you're not, we're still going to love you. If you are, we're still going to love you. That's what we have to be as believers. Instead of trying to force people, and you're going to go to hell if you don't do this. That don't work. Okay, so we're returning. We're leaving that, and we're returning to trust, relationship, surrender, and participation in God's life. Okay? Acts 3:19, there's a verse that says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Notice, repentance comes before cleansing because belief precedes behavior and thinking precedes living. All right. Okay. Kingdom. This is the big word. All right. Repent for the kingdom of God or heaven is at hand. This is huge for all of us to understand. The word kingdom means reign, rule, and active authority. This kingdom does not mean a place you go when you die. Everybody trying to die and go to heaven. God, what about your life? Like God wants you to live. All right. So this kingdom stuff, so we worry about that whenever we die. Until then, can we live? He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, meaning that it's what God is actively doing in the earth. Okay? So Dallas Willard, if you want to read some deep stuff and you want to be deep and sweet, read Dallas Willard. All right? He's one of my goats. Dallas Willard defines kingdom, the kingdom of God, as this: the range of God's effective will where what he wants done is done. So it's God's effective will where what he wants done is done. So I look at my household. I want the kingdom of God in my household. God, what you want done in this house is done. I want the church, kingdom of God operating in the church. Well, God, what you want done in this done is what you want done is done. Same for my job. Everywhere I go, the grocery store, when I show up in the grocery store, the kingdom of God is here. That's what Jesus was operating in. Like he was walking around saying, the kingdom of God is here. It's available. God's way of doing things, his reign, his rule, his government is right here. And you can experience it if you receive it. Does that make sense? Y'all are really wilding, okay? Go ahead. Amen. No, that's what's up. All right, that's what's up. No, I know. All right. So Jesus, when he said the kingdom of God is here or the kingdom of heaven is here, Jesus is not announcing escape from earth. He's announcing God's reign breaking into our everyday lives.
Man, that's good.
All right. Stop trying to escape earth. No, for real. It's a scripture. God has put everlasting life in our hearts. Don't nobody want to die for real. And you shouldn't want to die until it's time. All right. No, my grandma, I love my grandma. She's one of my role models. My grandma and granddad, she was on her way out, stage 4 cancer. And she would just like, take me to the king. She was ready to go. No, for real. She knew her time was up. She like, let's get on with the show. I'm like, Grandpa, don't say that. She like, nah, let's go. I see him. Let's go. She looking in the sky. Like she's seeing angels and stuff. She like, come on, get me. All right. That's how she was. Until it's your time to go, don't want to go. Now, when it's your time to go, come get me. Until then, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Hold off. All right. Okay. So the kingdom, another key word, heaven, okay? In Jewish thinking, heaven was not a distant spiritual location. Whew, this is why we got to know Judaism in the Jewish way of thought. Because when we see heaven, we think sky. Back then, when they heard the word heaven, they didn't think that of as a spiritual location somewhere beyond the stars and the universe in a different galaxy. All right, or Antarctica, TikTokers. Okay. It's referred, heaven is referred to God's dimension of reality, often used reverently instead of saying God directly. So instead of saying God directly, they say heaven. Okay? As a dimension of God's reality. Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, it mean the same thing. Matthew uses heaven based off of him reverence Jewish tradition. Matthew audience was a Jewish, primarily Jewish audience. I think John was to everybody. Who was Mark to? Greeks. Luke might have been Greek. Mark, somebody else. Okay. But they all have different audiences. Therefore, you will see different nuances in the stories and different perspectives. Okay. My bad. That's another study for another time. The kingdom of heaven near, it means it's come close, it's in reach. The biggest one, it's accessible now. The kingdom of heaven, think about this, God's reality, God's reign is accessible now. It's tangible, it's right here, and it's available. You have access to it, and you can live in the kingdom of heaven every day of your life. That's what we're offering people at the Beloved Church of Kalamazoo. That you can live in the kingdom of heaven right now. You can experience his love, his joy, his healing, his peace. You can experience all of it right now as you follow Jesus. That's it. Amen. Not if you don't do this, you won't go to hell. Not if you don't do this, you're going to be cursed. Jesus already took care of the curse. He took care of hell. He took care of sin. He took care of death. He said, I want you to live your life and enjoy it now. I don't know about you. That sounds like good news. Amen. And this is the good news of the gospel that Jesus is presenting and preaching. Not necessarily, Dr. Miles Monroe, that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. That's part of the good news. The reality of the good news is that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can experience the kingdom of God every single day. That's good news. All right. Okay. Again, we're diving into this stuff deeper. So, you cannot live in a new reality with the old worldview. You cannot live in this new reality with the old belief system and thinking. Therefore, we got to repent. If you only focus on repenting from your behaviors and actions, then you will miss Jesus's entire message. So let me tie it all in together. I'm just going to read this so we can go. To communion. Jesus is saying something like this. I'm just going to read it. Excuse me. Rethink everything you think you know about God. Abandon your old frameworks. Let go of fear-based religion. God's reign and rule is available now to you. A new way of living is possible right now. This is why repentance is about your belief systems and not behavior policing. I am not here to be the sin police and be like, what you do? What y'all doing? You obeying Jesus? You got it all down? No, that's not what this is about. This is about us following Jesus together. It's about loving one another, praying for one another, sharing our struggles with one another, confessing our sin to one another. And when I say confess sin, I'm not really talking about the action. I'm talking about what you believe. Like, Mo, I'm not believing God that he's faithful. I don't believe that God is a provider. Therefore, I'm doing X, Y, and Z to make money. I don't believe God is strong enough to change my life. See, when we attack our belief system about God, ourselves, or other people, your sin and your actions don't stand a chance. But if you keep focusing on your actions, you in trouble. All right. So why belief-based repentance matters for discipleship? This is why. If repentance is framed as behavior control, then people hide, shame increases, and transformation stalls. If repentance is framed as belief renewal, freedom increases, love expands, and obedience becomes joyful. Where everybody is like, I am eager and excited to obey Jesus. Not, oh man, I gotta stop doing this. Man, I gotta give up that too. You want me to stop doing this too? Man, I can't go. I gotta give up my homies. I gotta do this and that. What happens is when our belief changes, our obedience to Christ becomes joyful, where you get excited to stop doing the stuff you know you're supposed to stop doing, not because you're trying so hard, it's because you are becoming a new person. Isn't that the goal? So if I am new, therefore what I do is new, and I like who I'm becoming. So if, let's say there is a person I need to cut off on my life and they're a bad influence. What God will do is he will change me to the point where I become disgusted around their presence. I got a homeboy from college. This is my homie. God started growing me so much when he talked. I'm like, I don't want to hear this. I don't like it. It's getting on my nerves. I love him now, but I don't want to talk to him. Therefore, I'm like, you know what? Hey, bro, you want to go hick it? Nah, I'm kind of busy. Having three kids, you got a great excuse. I got... I don't know what to tell you. Don't you want me to be a good father? I'm with my babies. You know what I'm saying? But if I just would have noticed, like, if I didn't change and I just try to cut them off, I'd be rude, nasty, and judgmental, which is really unnecessary. Be real. It's just I've changed and grown to a point like, hey, bro, this right here for this season, I'm kind of good on that. And guess what? I could call him right now. We're going to have a phenomenal conversation. But it's just not an everyday, every week occurrence where he polluting my mind with stuff I ain't even on that. I'm on something completely different. And he a Christian. No, for real. He a preacher. He loved Jesus. I'm just like, right now, how I'm growing and moving, I'm good on that. That, you know? But that's because my belief system has changed. All right? Okay, here we go. This is it. So this is why Dallas Willard, he's an OG. He is the first one who came up with the being with Jesus or coming up with the words, being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. That's discipleship. So as one of the leaders of this ministry, my job, my duty, my responsibility is to help you be with Jesus, become like him, and do what he did. Notice, none of those things have anything to do with following the pastor. Zero. I know it's a verse that says, follow me as I follow Christ. The Apostle Paul said that. Who was willing to die for the gospel. I'm not saying I'm not willing to die for the gospel. I got kids, man. You know what I'm saying? He ain't had no kids, you know? He might would have thought differently he had kids. All right. Can they get grown and out the house and, you know, first? Okay. But you see what I'm saying? You see the problem with me saying follow me as I follow Christ and my line of thinking versus Apostle Paul, who's like, pour my life out as a drink offering? Like, the question is, am I willing to say and believe and do what the Apostle Paul was saying, believing and doing? Me personally, I don't think I'm there yet. So I ain't going to be like, hey, y'all follow me as I follow Christ. To me, that sounds stupid. Right? So my responsibility is for all of us, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. That's what discipleship looks like. Jesus did not begin his ministry by telling people to behave better. He told them to think differently. Jesus started his earthly ministry after all the Jewish schooling he's been in, after memorizing the first 5 books of the Bible, after sparring at the age of 12 with elders and rabbis and religious leaders, after learning everything Jesus learned. He did not begin his ministry by saying, you need to behave differently. He said, you need to think differently. Because thinking leads to living.